afternoon there'll be a messy church taking place. I'm a bit concerned about it, because I said to Felicity, are you coming to the messy church? She said, yes. I said, are you going to clear up afterwards? She said, no, we'll be gone by then. So it looks like me and the officers sweeping up afterwards. I just checked with Jackie about the Zoom prayer meeting tonight. Not tonight. No prayer meeting at 5:30. On Wednesday, Friends Together at 1:30, and also the band rehearsal on Wednesday evening. Thursday, Bible study from 1 o'clock till 2, and then the songs to rehearsal in the evening. I'm sure most of you will know, but I have to tell you the sad news that John Cates was promoted to glory yesterday. So your prayers, please, for Maureen and the family. Thank you for listening.
To reiterate there what John said, to our prayers for Maureen. It was lovely to see John here in worship last Sunday, and he renewed his covenant as it was Covenant Sunday, and he was so grateful that he was able to be here. And so today, prayers for Maureen, but we rejoice that today he's made the journey that none of us have made. He's made the journey and he sees his Lord and Saviour face to face. Our opening song here, the band have already played. The first tune they played was Great is Thy Faithfulness. And what a faithful God that we have. But also in being faithful, we need to set our vision. And God is our vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. If you're using the songbook, it's 573. We'll stand. Shall we sing the first two verses? Is that okay? First two verses, please. Just to help you, there is two versions to this song. They've put the words up to the tune that the band aren't playing. So at the beginning of each line, just put the word be. Okay, be thou my wisdom, be ever with thee, be thou my great father. So if you're struggling with the lines. So the third verse reminds us, be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight, be thou my whole armour. Oh, don't we need our armour in these days? We need to wake up, we need to put on the armour of God. Be thou my soul's shelter. Be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward. Great power of my power. And we'll sing verses 3, 2 to 3, 4 and 5. Please, thank you.
Be Amen. Thank you for good singing together. Let me invite you please to take your seats as we prepare for prayer this morning. As has already been mentioned, we remember John and Maureen, David and Robert and their families in our prayers. There are others too who have heavy hearts here this morning because loved ones are struggling, their health is deteriorating, and we need to be praying for each other in these days. Our desire is that as we worship here this morning, that God will visit each and every one of our hearts. Song number 400 in the songbook says, "We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around." Let's sing this lovely chorus together, not just because it sounds good, not just because we like the words, but we want it to be a reality for us here this morning that this is holy ground. It's a place that you've met God, maybe on many occasions, but today we need a visit of the Holy Spirit again to encourage us and help us and meet our personal needs today. So let's sing the chorus, shall we? Twice through, please. Next chorus I'd like us to sing is 402, which simply says, "When I look into his holiness, when I gaze into his loveliness." Beautiful words. Sometimes we look at the world around us, the situations we find ourselves in. We find ourselves discouraged, despondent, not knowing what the next step will be. But Jesus invites us to look to him, to see his love for us at Calvary, and to respond to his call to come and to follow him and to place our step in his steps. Steps that are sure, firm. Steps that will lead us to his eternal presence, in the presence of God. Let's sing together, shall we, in the attitude of prayer. Thank you. We stand on holy ground. We look into the holiness of God. God simply says to us, do you want to say, you've got my full attention. I'd like to leave the meeting open for one or two people, please, to offer prayer on our behalf this morning, please. Whatever God's laid upon your heart, express it just now, please. Thank you. Father God, I believe that in the stillness and the silence, your Holy Spirit hears the silent prayers that we speak from the mercy seat of our own hearts. And to thank you, Father God, that you have given us access into your presence through Jesus Christ. That each of us, no matter who we are, can come to you at any time, any place, and that you invite us simply to come and to sit at your feet and to share. You're aware, Father God, of all that has been brought before your throne of grace this morning in prayer. There are many, Lord, who claim a place in our prayers, and we choose not to mention them by name for fear of missing someone out. But I thank you, Father God, that the only thing you've remember no more is our sins because of Jesus, and that every person on earth today is precious in your sight. I pray that this act of worship might be a source of encouragement and blessing to each and every one of our hearts. Father God, there will be something within this act of worship that each of us might take away and be able to think about and reflect upon. Yet it might strengthen our faith and help us in our walk with you this coming week. Father God, as has already been prayed, we would ask you to bless the families who will come this afternoon. We covet them for your kingdom. I have a good time, that there will be much joy and happiness in exploring Christian faith and who Jesus is. Amen. And amen. I'm going to sing another song together. Words will come up on the screen. It's called 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this is a beautiful song. It's a few years old now, but as used by God on many occasions. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. So you're invited to sing like never before. So don't worry about what you sound like. Just open your lungs and let the sound come out. God will receive it as an offering this morning. Let's stand together to sing this lovely song. Thank you. God bless. Let's turn to God's word together, shall we? We're looking at Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 19 to the end of verse 25.
This particular Bible reading is entitled A Call to Persevere in Faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We look at those words a little bit later on in our meeting and unpack them and see what the Lord is saying to you and to me through these particular words. But now we're going to listen to the message that the songsters have prepared for us this morning. It's entitled, I Know a Fount. Thank you.
say thank you. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. In a world where sometimes we can feel so bound by ourselves, when our own internal conversation tells us we are not worth anything. We haven't quite made the mark. Who do you think you are compared to that person? It's not about what we do, who we are. It's about what God has done for us. And God says, don't need to worry about what has happened in the past. Come as you are. I'll do the transformation. We're going to listen to a little clip now before we share a prayer with our young people. A little illustrated talk which simply is entitled, Giving Thanks to God.
Hey guys, it's me again, Douglas. And today I want to talk to you guys about thankfulness, being thankful, and specifically thanking God for what you have. Yeah, every single good thing in our life comes from God. It's all thanks to God. And so we should give all thanks to God. You know, it's a really good idea to be thankful for what you have. Right? Not just because you should, but because it's good for you. It's really hard to have a bad attitude when you are thankful and grateful, when you have an attitude of gratitude. So like when someone does something nice for you, it's really good to thank them for it. Good for you, it's good for them, it's good for everybody. So like when my dad brings home burritos from a restaurant on his way home from work, I can thank my dad for those burritos. And sometimes when something good happens to me, something happens in my life that I'm thankful for, I like to go down what I call a thankfulness rabbit trail. Right? Like I like to think about all the different things I can be thankful for this one thing. So in the example of my dad bringing back burritos from a restaurant, I can be thankful for my dad bringing the burritos, but I can also be thankful for whoever came up with the recipe for those delicious burritos, right? And I can be thankful for the person who actually made them, and I can be thankful for, like, the farmer who like, raised the cow that made the beef for the delicious burrito, and, you know, the farmer who raised, like, the flour for the tortilla and all the other good stuff that's in the burrito. I can be even thankful for the cow for giving its life so that I could have some decent food and so could lots of other people. And the burrito is just one example. But if you start looking for things that you're thankful for, you start realizing that there's lots and lots of extra things you can be thankful for the good stuff in your life. And here's the thing. If you start following these thankfulness rabbit trails, they all lead back to God. Every single one of them. Every single good thing in your life came from God. It's a gift from God. And not just like stuff, right? Like everything. You can thank God for your family. Your family came from God. You can thank God for your health. Everything. Literally every good thing comes from God. Some of the good stuff in our life happens because of our own hard work, right? Like if you have good grades, you earned that. But you can still be thankful to God. Even though you did the work of studying, you can be thankful to God for your teachers who helped you. You can be thankful to God for your brain that works and helps you to better understand the stuff you're learning. Again, every good thing from God. And we can thank Him for all the goodness in our life. And the fact that God has blessed us all so, so much doesn't mean that there's no bad stuff in our lives. Everybody has bad stuff in their life. Some much more than others. But every single good thing that has ever happened is because of God's love for you. So my challenge to you guys today is that you would be thankful for what you have. I want you to look around and think about what you have, all the good things in your life, and I want you to thank God. Again, it's not just good because you owe it to God to thank Him. No, it's good to be thankful. It's good to give thanks to God for all the good things in your life. Because that's good for your heart. Being thankful does the soul good. No matter who you are surrounded by blessings from God. All good things come from God. So let's give Him our thanks.
We're going to give thanks to God for them. Are you all okay? Good.
I saw the way they were looking at Douglas on there. I just thought, if my husband put a green face on and a wig on, maybe they might look at him. Yeah, when he's doing the sermon. Do you think he'd look good with a green face and red hair? Yeah? We'll have to try it 1 week, shall we? Do you think so? Well, we're really thankful that you're here today, and we're going to go out to Sunday school, and we're going to finish looking at some of the miracles that Jesus did from Mark. We've been looking at how he healed people, and today we're looking at one story, and it was actually a father who actually asked Jesus to come and to heal his daughter. So it's important that we think of our family members and those who maybe aren't so well at this time. But I want to thank you that you're all here today. Okay, we keep growing. 1 week it was just Felicity and Hudson. Last week it was Felicity, Hudson and Matthew. Now that we're expanding. So you keep going on like this. By the end of February, March, we'll have a whole room full out there. Okay, then let's just share a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these young lives. We thank you for the people that they are now. And we thank you that they're willing to learn more and more about you. But we're also thankful for their parents who give them such good examples of what being a Christian is and telling them the stories of Jesus. So I just pray now, Lord, that as we go out to Sunday school, that you will go with us and that you will help us to understand more and more about Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, well, we hope you have an exciting time. Please come back and tell us all about it. Is that okay? Thank you. Right, just before we look at God's word, we're going to invite the band to play for us an evening prayer. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say thank you for your ministry this morning. Scripture we shared together earlier in our meeting from Hebrews chapter 10 is the crux of the whole letter to the Hebrews. We don't know who wrote this letter. Many scholars believe it was Paul because of the teaching and the stance in which it takes. So it's not been accredited to him. But it has a message specifically for Jewish Christians who've been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And this is where the writer picks up and says, therefore, in view of all that I've already said in the first 9 chapters of Hebrews, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. I want you to understand how radical that idea would be for Jewish Christians. For thousands of years, since their time in slavery in Egypt, as God led them out of that slavery into the desert, they were instructed as to how to build a tabernacle where the presence of God would be amongst them. And in that tabernacle, there was to be a place for sacrifice and for offerings. And within that courtyard, there would be what was called the Holy of Holies, where the high priest, Aaron, would once a year enter on behalf of himself and the people of God to offer a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice, for all the people of God. But here's this writer saying to us, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, what he's saying to us is you and I can have confidence to come to God at any time, any place. We don't need to offer a sacrifice for our sins. That sacrifice has been offered once and for all in the death of Jesus Christ. That in the shedding of his blood, the innocent, perfect Lamb of God takes away all the sin and the guilt that each of us have ever experienced or ever will experience. So we can come to God. We don't need to wait for one special moment in time, once a year. We don't need to wait until the preacher calls to come to the mercy seat. You and I have access to God because of Jesus Christ. I read with interest that the American president, Abraham Lincoln, had a number of sons, but his youngest, called Tad, nicknamed Tad, sure, he was called Thomas, but Tad was a bit of a rogue in the sense that he would get up to mischief in the White House. But everybody loved him. And the story is told that actually, in coming into the White House on one occasion, he began to talk to somebody. And he spoke in a way which gave you the impression that they were friends. And the guy explained that he had come like all the others in that room because he wanted to speak to Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln's policy was he had an open door. You could come and speak to him at any time. So everybody was taking hold of the opportunity, which meant you could wait for days before you got a chance to speak to him. And Tad said to these people, come with me. So they followed behind. And Tad walked up to the first door. There were guards, walked straight through, and the party with him walked straight through. Nobody challenged. They knew who Tad was, so they moved on through all the security that was in the White House at that time, until Tad threw open the door. And while his dad was in business meeting, Tad was allowed to walk in and interrupt it. And Tad introduced his new friends to his dad. Now, they only just met Tad. But Tad, the son of the president, took these people right into the presence of his dad. This is what Jesus is doing for us here. Our sin says we cannot enter the presence of God. We're not worthy to be in the presence of God. But Jesus says to me, you can come through me. Come near to God. We enter the presence of God because we come through Jesus. We follow Jesus into the presence of God. And God doesn't look at our mistakes and our sins, but he looks at Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God who's taken away our sins. And Jesus says, Father, these are my friends. These are the people you sent me to bring home to you. We have access to God. The whole passage is unpacking the Jewish old system. And the writer is saying to the Jewish Christians, listen, friends, don't be discouraged. Draw near to God with sincere hearts, with the full assurance of faith that brings our hearts sprinkled and cleansed by pure water. And then he goes on in verse 23 to say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This life's not always going to be easy for the man or woman, the child of God. We are living counterculturally. And what the Word of God teaches is very much counter to what our current culture says is acceptable. And so as Christians, we have that tension of saying, how do we engage with the world that is saying what God says is no longer acceptable? Do we compromise? Do we water down the gospel in the hope that we might be able to fit in and survive? The writer here is saying, you need to hold on to what you have learnt about Jesus Christ. What is happening 2,000 years ago is Jewish Christians who had come to faith in Jesus Christ were going back to performing their religion as obeying the law rather than living in the freedom of grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. All the law does is point out our mistakes and failings and shortcomings. But grace says to us, God is forgiving and loving and embracing, prepared to accept us because of Jesus. Let's hold on to the faith, to the Christian faith. And then in verse 24 and 25, the word simply then reminds us to do something else. Goes on and says, let us consider one another. You don't just affect the person sat next to you, but you have an impact upon every person who's sitting in this building this morning. You're either an encouragement or unintentionally we can be a discouragement. And if I've ever been a discouragement to you, I apologize. Because the word of God is saying clearly here, let us consider one another. How can I encourage you? Is there any way I can help, encourage, support? Says, let us consider how we might spur one another onward. The Christian faith is not about standing still. You should be different today than you were 12 months ago, 24 months ago. Your relationship with Jesus should have deepened and grown in that time. Not just by your own efforts, but by the support and the encouragement that you receive from each other. Yes, there are many people who are Christians on their own, but that's not the way God intended the Christian life to be lived. God gives grace for men and women in certain situations where they find they are isolated from other Christians to be able to move forward, keep going. But God created the church to be a family. A family where they gather together in order to worship and to encourage each other. You see, God will use you and your words as a form of guidance and inspiration for myself, for others. The church's purpose is not just to get saved and sit here every Sunday morning until God calls us home. This is not God's waiting room. God has a to do for him in the here and now, in this 21st century. There are challenges that the church faces that we dare not ignore. If it is true that there is a fount where sins are washed away, then friends, in a world where depression, self-harm, isolation and loneliness is on the increase, we have a message that meets the challenges of our society today that needs to be shared, not just in words, but in the way we live, the way we care, the way we engage with each other and the world around us. And Jesus is saying to us, the writer here is saying to us, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up encouraging each other, as some are in the habit of doing. But encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this is a doctrine we don't actually preach very often in the church these days. This day approaching is the return of Jesus Christ. Not as a babe laid in a manger, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will come with the armies of heaven to gather his people from out of the world to judge and to set up the new kingdom of heaven on earth. What we're told in Scripture is we need to be ready for it, because it's going to happen in a twinkle of an eye, quicker than you can blink. Quicker than you can blink. We don't preach this doctrine because it's not sexy anymore. Because it runs the risk of passing judgment. And how can a God of love condemn anyone to hell or separation from his presence? God's desire is not to separate anybody from his presence. His desire is to bring people into a loving, living relationship with him through the church. And if all people are lost, friends, it's either because they have chosen to not accept the invitation, because God's all about free choice, or they've never had the opportunity to hear. And that's the worst thing. The one thing I don't want to do is come before my Father's throne in heaven and hear him say, "Do you know what, David? You couldn't care less about the lost. You went through all the motions. You wore that Salvation Army uniform. You appeared to be godly, but you weren't listening to my spirit. You weren't crying over the lost. You weren't looking for ways to engage them, to bring them back to the Father. So let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the faith that we profess." I wonder who it was who introduced you to Jesus. Whether it was your mum or your dad or your Sunday school teacher or a friend. Thank God for that person. Let us consider today how we might encourage each other. And not just those of us who are here this morning, but there are brothers and sisters who have not made the journey back to worship yet. They're still part of our fellowship, and we need to love them, care for them, and nurture them. Maybe you can make a phone call just to say, "Been thinking about you this week." Or send a card, simply just to say, "Just wanted to let you know, you've been in my thoughts and prayers this week." That's what being church is all about. Coming close to God, holding to the faith we profess, and considering how we might love, encourage, support one another. I'd like us to spend a few moments in reflective thought as we sing together a lovely, lovely song. A song we're going to sing in reflection this morning can be found in the songbook 645. Beautiful words, "He leadeth me, O blessed Lord." As we sing these words, I invite you just to spend time in the presence of God, your Father, through Jesus, his Son. You have access into the very throne room of heaven today and every day. Come regularly. Come frequently. The Lord's never too busy to spend time with you. Let's sing together this song, and if it would be helpful to come and to use this place of prayer, we'd invite you to do so in these moments. Thank you. I'm going to ask for the tune to be played again. We are on holy ground. We want to pray for our sister. Ask God to bless her. So let's listen. Ask you please to pray where you are. And then when the music finishes, please, somebody share a prayer on our behalf this morning. Still time to come. Let's listen. Amen. Somebody please to pray with us. Amen. And amen. May God answer that prayer for each and every one of us in the coming days. We're going to conclude this morning by turning together to song number 522 in the Salvation Army Songbook. A word standing on the promises of Christ, my King. There are no better place to stand than upon the promises of God. Let me invite you to stand and we'll sing. And I'm sure that towards the end of the song, our young people will come, tell us what they've done this morning, and then we'll share the benediction together. Thank you. Can we sing the first three verses, please? Thank you.
did say sit down. They're very obedient, these children are. Can I just say, would you like to stand up?
That's the first
time that's ever happened. All right. So we've been learning today about how Jesus heals people. Okay. So there was a little girl who was very sick. Go on. Oh, brilliant. Very sick. So Jairus, her father, asked Jesus to come to his house and heal her. On the way there, the man's friend came and said, "We're sorry, but your daughter died." Oh. Oh, no. That's right. "Don't worry," Jesus said. "Just trust me." Jesus went inside the house. She's only sleeping. That's right. She's only sleeping. Some people laughed at that. Beautiful. But Jesus went to where the girl was lying. So what's she doing? She's lying down on the floor. He took the girl's hand. "Get up," she did. And she did. We just have to have faith. That's right. And the important thing is that the girl was healed. And Jesus is special and he can help each and every one of us. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. Well,
yeah. It's nice that they came running to the platform. We need to come running to the house of the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to read verse 4 and then we'll stand and sing verse 5. Standing on the promises, that cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Saviour as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Let's stand and sing verse 5, please. Jesus, our Saviour, come and live within us. May we walk this life through your strength and light and hope in our eyes, and give us the faith to love you day by day until you come or call. Amen. Amen. Good morning and God bless you.